I would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think we have come here to give glory to the Lord in expectation of what He has prepared for us. Yes, we have just now sung of the love of God, and I think we all have tuned in with all our hearts. For His love bears us every day, and I'm convinced each one of us can testify of it. Let us sing from this little booklet, singing together song number 18. Song number 18, I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Song 18. Amen. I believe we are all touched by it. We know that without the help of the Lord we can do nothing, for He helps us daily, and He brings us daily forward so that we can meet Him with joy one day. Let us sing song number 14, Showers of Blessing. Number 14.
Oh,
Yes, this is the question which we have to ask ourselves daily when we come here. Do we want to experience His blessing? And I think this is the reason why we have come here. We want to receive the showers of blessing from Him. We sing now a couple of choruses. We start with chorus number 3. Oh, I want to see Him. Sing chorus number 4. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the number 5, then Brother Helmut Miskis reads us a word. Perhaps we stand up while we sing this chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. We remain standing in reverence before the Lord, and we look up our Bibles in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we read from verse 6 on. Galatians chapter 3, from verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Then we read verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Up to here, we remain silent for prayer. Almighty God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we are approaching your throne of grace. Lord, we recognize our weaknesses, our mistakes, our failures before thee, and we ask you, be merciful to us. Through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, our Redeemer. Lord, we are coming as your children before your throne of grace. Lord, we ask you, give us today the bread of life, Lord, the spiritual food for our souls. O Heavenly Father, we are a needy people. We have much troubles, but you are the giver of all good gifts. Give us from your riches what you have prepared for us. Lord, bless and anoint the lips through which you will speak to us, and our hearts and ears, so that your word accomplishes in us for what you have sent it for. Bless all who are joined with us, also through the transmission, and help all your children, near and far. Your holy name be the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing a chorus. Only believe. Amen. You may be seated. You were already welcomed. And we would like, from this place, we would like to greet all over the world. We have received wishes of blessing from China, from many countries of the earth. Then we have special greetings today from Brother Rus, then Brother Wahlström, Brother Gilsong, Brother Hilton, Brother Joseph, Brother Dr. Mbie, Brother Etienne Genton, Brother Deo, Brother Graf. Just greetings and again greetings from everywhere, Brother John from Bucharest. Then we have greetings from Moscow, greetings from Moldavia, greetings from the Ukraine, just from everywhere, from near and far, of those who are joined together with us in the Lord. And today, I would like to welcome all those in a special way who are here today for the first time. Do we have friends in our midst? Please stand up. Who is here today for the first time? Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, 18, 19. Yes, the Lord God bless you in a special way. And then all those who were not here for a long time, God bless you. And today we have a whole bus from Slovakia, at least 1,250 kilometers they were traveling. God bless you in a special way. Then we have brothers and sisters from Italy. In such a large number, we never had them before. From North Italy, from the South, even from Palermo. God bless you in a special way in our midst. Then we have friends from the Czech Republic, from Poland, really from all over Europe. And may the Lord bless. Then from countries of Africa, the Lord God, may He come to His right with all of us. And Austria and Switzerland, we don't have to mention here anymore. You just belong. Yeah, all belong automatically to it. France also. Yes, greetings from South America. Greetings from Lima. Greetings from Chile. Greetings from all over, where brothers and sisters are joined with us. Dr. Bie, he said, Brother Frank, we are gathered here, about 4,000 people in one meeting. And he said, many preachers are here, and we are just grateful to God, and again grateful that we have this possibility to share the precious everlasting word of God, to carry it and to sow it as the divine seed. And may the Lord God will not let His word return void. It will accomplish for what He has sent it for. And especially all the young people. It stood out to me this time that many young people are amongst us. Please make use of this opportunity. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Redeemer, as your Savior. There's no way around Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And only he who truly received Him, he has eternal life. This, of course, applies to all of us, young and old. But we want that these meetings which God gives us, that they become a blessing to all. And we hope that the remarks which are now are going to be made, that they just are looked at as remarks alongside. One cannot change anything about what is happening on the earth now. One cannot just bypass these things. The world is in a crisis. The church is in a crisis. Israel is in a crisis. everything and again everything is in a crisis. And the church can only be helped by God Himself. And therefore, we send our prayer to the throne of God that these meetings really are serving for the purpose that worldwide the body of the Lord, the church of the living God, is being served. And if we sometimes have to include some things which are necessary worldwide, perhaps not at this place or with you, but somewhere on the earth it's needed, namely to serve all of the body of the Lord. And to our translators, we wish God's grace, God's help, and God's strength, that they find the right words. You most surely noticed earlier on the sound and the swing of the sermon, which we heard here at this place, was a bit different in the 70s and in the 80s. But since it is being translated, it's just necessary that the translators understand every word, understand every sentence, so that they can pass it on. Let the word work in you, penetrate into you. The word accomplishes for what it was sent for. Not the preacher, not the volume, no. God watches over His word to speak by it and to fulfill His word. Now, concerning the timely events, so we are mostly interested in what is happening in Israel. And there we have such a large number of emails about the things which are now happening with the Vatican in particular and with Israel. The negotiations, not with the government in Jerusalem, but with the high-ranking rabbis and the Vatican, of which the government doesn't know anything about it. 10 years, know nothing about. And mainly it is, and hold fast your seats, mainly it is about the premises, and not only that, about Mount Zion. And on Mount Zion, there is a main building, which is known as the upper room, known as the place where the Last Supper was celebrated. And all who were with us in Israel, they are still touched today of it. When we write at this place, we're singing choruses and worshipping the Lord God there. Not only that the Last Supper was celebrated there, but the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place there. And that the word of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, could find fulfillment. The word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem and the teaching from Mount Zion. And it's not enough for them to control all the other sites already. They want this on the highest point of the Mount Zion. They want it, which overall is a part of the Mount Moriah, where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. And right that building they want to have now. And already on the 30th of April, it should be signed already. And here the headline says, Israel's control over Mount Zion is in danger. And then are coming all the other headlines. 10 years of negotiations shall come to an end now. And then really, in detail, it's reported of what's about and what shall be now. If there would not be for it a word of prophecy, and at least I would like to read three scriptures. The first one, and just briefly, please, just briefly, from the prophet Daniel, chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Here the end time is described to us, and also that what will then happen with Israel, or with that, with him who will play the main role at that time. Daniel 8, verse 24 and 25. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper. And accomplish and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Daniel 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, here we read in the New Testament what then will happen with that man who exalts above everything what is called God or what is worshipped. Here it's written, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4 and 9. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And to this, Mark chapter 13, here we have the description of that, what happened at that time, at the first coming of Christ, and also shortly afterward, in the year 70 after Christ. And here we have a hint to that, what is happening now. Mark 13, here we read verse 14, firstly, and then verse 23. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, where it doesn't belong, where it just is not allowed to be. When you shall see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not. And then it says, let him that readeth understand. Concerning that time, the believers in Judea should flee to the mountains. Now concerning us, and this becomes greater and greater to me, and I just have to say it, if those things which are happening with Israel after the rapture, if they are now already shaping up, really coming to its fulfillment now, how near must then be the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord? In verse 23, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. And then, from verse 33, very powerful, from verse 33, take ye heed, have your eyes open, and so that all know that this scripture does not refer to that time then, but that it refers to now, to our time. You just have to read verse 28 in Mark 13. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. The fig tree has put forth leaves, is tender. The people of Israel were gathered from 144 countries, and then the end time is described. And in verse 33, take ye heed, have your eyes open, be watchful, for ye know not when the time is. Ye know not when the time is, but have your eyes open, make yourself ready, for when you see all these things that they're coming to pass, then lift up your heads. For your redemption is drawing near. And right in connection to this word, it says in verse 34, something is written here, which recently has caused doctrinally misunderstandings, because an interpretation was made. And I say it openly, not only God, I also hate it, and I will not apologize for it. All the interpretation is that all of the time before the coming of the Lord is divided in four time periods, and then one speaks of the evening, of midnight, and of the cock crowing, and of the early morning. And the interpretation is that one says one message was at evening time when Brother Branham was here, the second when Brother Frank was here, and now the time of the message is of the cock crowing and so forth. And right that is an abomination to God. Let me read to you what is written here. Let us read it without stopping from verse 33. And then judge yourself. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Here a very natural earthly example is being used to tell us that we have to watch. And then from verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. So, here it's not about a message at the evening time, and not about a message at midnight, leave alone about a message at the cock crowing, but it's about that nobody on the earth knows whether it's day or whether it's night, when the hour will be. Let us remember New Zealand, there the day starts, there it's early in the morning, yes. And if when it's there evening, then here it's morning. So, here it's just, it's simply said, be ready, for ye know not when the Lord comes. Of message, it doesn't speak here at all, but it speaks of to be ready, whether in the morning or midday or evening, whenever he comes, just be ready. Then, verse 36 and 37, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And we just know that the Lord used these examples to tell us when the time of fulfillment comes, when you see Bible prophecy in its fulfillment, then please watch, because then the time has just arrived. And we all know, and this must be emphasized, we all know that God has a plan of salvation, and that this plan of salvation comes to fulfillment also with Israel. And Israel is in a trouble, namely because they received not the Lord at that time. There was the trouble. There came trouble over the people of God. But now God has called, and they, at the right time, they will be at the right place. And as God started with Israel, so he will also finish with Israel. Even it looks very sad, and as God has also trouble with us, with the church, and he has with Israel, before he can reach his goal. Let us not only think on Israel now and on the church. Let us think everyone himself personally. How much trouble has the Lord with all of us until now? In these days, we will also deal with, in view of what happened to us, for us, Calvary, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the finished work of redemption, the great day of reconciliation of God with mankind. When we are now in Israel, we of course traveled the whole country. We were standing at the Red Sea and we remembered what God has done when He commanded Moses to lift up His rod and how He divided the sea, be it now there or here. It was, as it is written, that's how it took place. On every step, we, in the land of the Bible, we could follow the footprints of God in the Old and in the New Testament. Now, just the remarks here about En-Gedi, about the Dead Sea. When we remember of what is written in Ezekiel 47, that the riches of the Dead Sea, and dead means dead, no life, that the riches of the Dead Sea will be greater than that of the Mediterranean Sea. And nets will be cast, not only the fishing rod, but nets will be pulled out. Nets, it will be like this. In as much as the fountain will break forth from the temple, and this living water, this healthy water, will reach the Dead Sea. Yes. And then God takes care. That suddenly, God is creator. God is, of course, a creator. He takes care that in one, all of a sudden, everything is there. He speaks, and it happened. And then all the other sides, it's worthwhile to mention this now. All the other sites, be it the Mount of Olives, and then one remembers the prophet Zechariah, who prophesied that the Lord our God will come, and with His feet He will stand upon Mount of Olives, and that the Mount of Olives will split. If one goes down to the Garden of Gethsemane, then one is referred to the Gospels, where our Lord was weeping and crying and praying, and He said, "Let this cup, if it is possible, let this cup pass over Me, but not My will, but Thy will be done." If this cup would have passed Him, then we would have to drink it. But because He has drank it, therefore we can drink the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing we can drink. And especially, it was blessed at the garden tomb. If one reads in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, nearby of the Skull Hill, Calvary, there was a garden. And in the garden, there was a tomb in which no one was laying before. This is one thing to read. But if one is there, at the spot, and sees Calvary, and walks a bit further through the garden, and sees the empty tomb, yes, He is risen, He is alive. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And as I've said many times, we are redeemed. The price was paid. The great day of reconciliation of God with mankind took place. He who gets lost, he gets lost of his own responsibility. He doesn't have to accuse God if he bypasses what God has done for our redemption and what He has given us by His grace. And just Just think of it. Not purchased with gold and silver, as Peter writes. No. With the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And what do we read in Leviticus chapter 17 from verse 11? The life of the body is in the blood. And therefore, the blood for the atonement has to be had to be applied to the altar. And then we read in Hebrews that our Lord, as high priest, he entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies. And by this, he obtained the eternal redemption. Eternal. Nobody can change anything. Nothing can be changed about it. An eternal redemption God has given us. And eternal life he has given us by his grace. So, let us receive what God has given us by his grace. What he has prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Just think of it. Before there was a world. Namely, before the foundation of the world, God has purposed his plan of salvation, which he, in the course of time, would accomplish. He purposed it already. And me and you, he included, so that we can be his eternal possession by his grace. Not a religion, but eternal life God has given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. In Revelation chapter 19, we read actually of what's all about, namely about, and this must be emphasized, about our preparation unto this glorious day, which of course has drawn near. Revelation chapter 19, the verses 7 to 9, actually one should read every time anew. Revelation 19 from verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. We want to be part of it when this finds fulfillment. We want to be glad. We want to rejoice. We want to belong to that flock which is counted worthy to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb in glory, which is worthy to be called the bride of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, I hope that we receive it with all our hearts. Bride of the Lamb. Before Abel sacrificed the sacrifice and slaughtered a lamb, the Lord God slaughtered two lambs and has clothed Adam and Eve in it. From the very beginning, it was in the plan of salvation that a lamb, namely the Lamb of God, would die and would give his life and blood for us. What happened when the people of Israel were led out of Egypt? Every family had to slaughter a lamb, had to apply the blood to the doorposts so that the destroyer would pass over. And the Lord God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When the Lord sees us under the blood of the Lamb, as the people of the new covenant, brothers and sisters, Satan, the destroyer, can do nothing. We are under the protection of the blood. He can be furious. He can be furious. He can make a lot of noise like a lion. But he can not harm our soul. Our soul is redeemed. We have received forgiveness and eternal life. In verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Not one's own righteousness. The whole world is full of it. No, the righteousness. We have heard it in the word of introduction. The righteousness which was given to us by faith, as Abraham had it. What could justify him? The faith in the promise which God had given him. And so we see here, faith is just necessary, and faith comes by hearing. Then, verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Already the invitation, brothers and sisters, already only alone that we were invited is a blessing, because the connection is to bless those who, let us read it once again, in verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are invited unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. We were invited to come to the Lord. We are invited as the bride church to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb in glory. And this invitation is only accepted by those who truly were ordained for it before the foundation of the world. All the others are bypassing it. The word does not address them. But all who are part of the bride church, they are addressed and they are coming to the Lord. Then in chapter 21 in Revelation, we read, let us read chapter 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I've written it in this circular letter. Inasmuch, I heard now that it's ready in the French and the English language. It is laid out here. I've written it there. Now is the time of the true preparation of the bride church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense anymore to be busy with other things or with others. Just how do I stand before the Lord? This inner preparation we have to experience by His grace. Now, in this connection, what is really necessary here, and it must be emphasized, that we are remaining in the Word, abiding in the Word, that we in no case are moving out of the Word. But as our Lord said in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, if ye abide in my word, and my words abide in you, that's what's all about now. And Ezra said, we have troubles with those brothers who are moving out of the word. And then I tell you what happens then. Then it's no more the preaching of the word, then it's babbling. I read it to you. From 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And now we are really coming. Yes, we have to come to this point now. That all who are preaching now the word of God, that they themselves are abiding in the word, not going out of the word of God. And also, not taking the church out of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And here we have the precise description. 2 Timothy 2 from verse 15 to 18. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, because he rightly divides the word of truth. Because he rightly divides the word of truth. And then the apostle mentions some also by names. And then he says in verse 17, and their babbling will eat as does a cancer. Yes. Eat as does a cancer. Yes. The preaching comes from the word and it becomes a blessing to others. And faith comes by hearing. But if one leaves the word of truth, if one leaves it, what is it then? Babbling. Vain babbling. And eats around as a cancer. I must say honestly, when I hear the word cancer, then one feels pain. And if one then hears that one can have irradiation and this treatment and this treatment, and sometime, one day, the cancer strikes. And if now false doctrines are compared with a cancer, which cannot be healed, which just eats around, then I'm just asking that all brothers who are ministering the word, that they just take such scriptures seriously and they ask themselves the question whether they fall into this category or whether they belong to those who rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly preaching it. The thing is very serious. The matter is very serious. And we cannot take it onto the light shoulder. You can read it in verse 17 and 18. And their babbling will eat as does a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. And now it comes. Who concerning the truth have erred, have strayed. And what's the problem is, whoever leaves the truth, leaves the right way, he comes into errors, he comes into interpretations. And then it is compared with a cancer, which nobody can heal. I read a couple of scriptures from the prophet Isaiah to just hang it here into the air to show us how important it is to doctrinally place everything biblically, placing it biblically. One brother recently, one of these words he was reading, and please forgive me that I say this now in my as naive as I am, but it's written. We will read it just now There it speaks of a servant who is blind. And then this brother said, this word could apply to you. And I just listened to it, but no one, not one, and I say it purposely, not one of the 18 times where the word servant is written in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41 to 54, not one refers to me, or to Brother Branham, or to Paul. Let us read these scriptures, just briefly, and this only because of our brothers who got into trouble now. We have to help. We have to serve. By the preaching, we somehow have to help the overall church, and mainly we have to help our brothers. Let us read of the 18 places in these chapters, 41 to 54, where it speaks of a servant. Let us read of it, only a couple of. The first one, Isaiah 41, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 41, verse 8 and 9. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Here all of Israel, as a servant of God, who has to carry the message of God, because all the promises were, of course, given to the people of Israel. Romans chapter 9. And here, but thou, Israel, art my servant. And then, in verse 8, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Yes. God has chosen Israel as his servant. Let us read Isaiah 42. Here, only the verse 1. Isaiah 42. The last weekend, we in part read it already. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles. All the description can be read in its fulfillment in Matthew 12 from verse 15 to 21. It's our Lord who will not break the bruised reed and will not quench the smoking flax, who has brought forth justice unto truth, as written here in verse 4. In Isaiah 43, verse 10, we read, Isaiah 43, verse 10, again, all of Israel included. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and ye are my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Isaiah 44, from verse 1 to 3. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord, that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, and my servant, thou Israel, whom I have chosen. Then verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. So I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Isaiah 44, verse 21. Isaiah 44, verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. And then are coming the promises in view to our Lord and Redeemer. In Isaiah 49, verse 5 and 6, we read, and now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Here we have the precious promise upon which Acts 13:47 refers to, which Paul included in his proclamation. And now we are coming to Isaiah 52 to show us our Lord in the form of a servant who came for the purpose to fulfill the will of God. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. It could not be said more clear. And verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. While reading, it must be paid attention. Where is Israel addressed as servant? Where is our Lord addressed as servant? How is the connection? Where does what belong? This means, of course, what Paul said, be a workman who rightly divides the word of truth, just there where it belongs. And then the four times in the New Testament, which only refer to our Lord. This we have, firstly, in Matthew, chapter 12. As I said, in verse 18, and then once again, in the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts, chapter 3. Here, our Lord again is addressed as servant. I read it. Acts, chapter 3. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Here our Lord again is described as servant. Acts 3, verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. His servant Jesus. And then, same way, Acts, we just read it. And it's really about now. It's important to me that all our brothers read the Holy Scripture, that they find the connections, and that they teach the people of God as it is well-pleasing to God. Brothers and sisters, we say it time and again. We say it time and again. Never before was the plan of salvation of God so revealed and shown as in our days. And God had his servants and prophets. God had Israel as his servant. And then the Lord became a servant. He took on the form of a servant, and he was obedient unto the death on the cross. And he could be all in all. He could be servant. He could be Lord. He could be Lamb of God. He could be advocate. He can be priest. He can be all in all. And he is all in all, but everything on its direct place, there where it belongs, there it has to remain. And so, we have received the grace in the sight of God that really everything, and again, everything is being placed there where it belongs. I had to look for the scripture. I wanted to find it, which should have been referred to me, but I don't find it right now. It's not so bad. It's not so important. Anyway, in any case, I'm not mentioned here at all. So much I can say. God, in all of the Old Testament, he had his servants, the prophets. Then God took all of Israel together and said, ye are my witnesses, ye are my servant. I have ordained you to testify of me. Ye are my servants. And then our Lord himself becomes a servant. He takes on the form of a servant. Now, I found it now. Isaiah 42, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 42, 18 and 19. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, and or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant. As I said, God Himself made the placing. Israel, which could not see, which was blind, as the prophet Isaiah said from the very beginning, they have eyes and see not, they have ears and hear not. And the Lord announced judgment. If one reads such scriptures, then one just has to go back to chapter 41. One has to go on with the other chapters to know exactly of whom it is spoken of here. Israel was deaf. Israel could not see, although a servant. And nevertheless, they didn't recognize what God at that time was doing. Just so much now for this subject. Then, from 1 John, before we close, from 1 John, chapter 4. This is actually very much on my heart. 1 John, chapter 4. And here, the man of God, really, he said something which really touches our hearts. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. And now comes something. Now comes something. May all the ministering brethren hear what now comes. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He who is of the truth hears that what the spirit of truth saith. And the spirit of truth speaks only through the word. The word remains forever. But then there's another spirit, namely the spirit of error. The spirit of error. And this is a vast difference. Let us go back. Let us read once again. As sure, so certain, so sure was the Apostle John that he, by the commission of God, was bringing the word, and he could say, we are of God. He that knoweth God, he who recognized God, and who was recognized by God, who really experienced God. And here, we are coming to the three circles, which were shown to me, which were shown to all of us, by the sermon of Brother Branham. One can be filled in the second realm with the Holy Ghost and anointed. And in the soul, one cannot not even be born again. And here it's really about that the work of grace, of the grace of God, happens in the deep inside of our soul. That a renewing, a new birth takes place. So that we receive the connection to God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Very serious word. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you now would go back to the Gospel of John, there the Lord says, of the spirit of truth, which he would send, of the Comforter, of the Spirit of Truth, who leads us into all the truth. But then, what is then with the spirit of error? It's exactly described in all the false doctrines, in all what was introduced as deception. Let us be honest, brothers and sisters, and precious friends. That what is happening in the big churches, in all the denominations, what is happening there, in all these churches, this doesn't bother us at all. What does bother us? Namely, that what is happening in the churches, which God has called out. Whatever, what happens everywhere, may it be their thing. We have to deal with those things, what the enemy wants to cause in our midst. And therefore, always the correction. Back to the Word of God. Always. The question which Paul already asked in Romans 3. What does the Scripture say? Now, just now, we are reading these Scriptures. What does the Scripture say about the term servant? Prophets were servants. Israel, servant. Our Lord, servant. Who gave His life for us. Just placing everything biblically. The same way with Mark 13. Just placing it biblically. Not falling prey to any deception. Not giving room to the spirit of deception. Let me say it in love. And may some brothers hear it. The deception starts mostly with so-called revelations. The deception starts with the so-called revelations. The one has a dream, and the other also. This time it were women who had dreams there. But one just has to be attentive. One has to take heed, be attentive. In the New Testament, no dream has to be interpreted, because it's written, they receive revelations in dreams. Not only dreaming dreams, but revelations receiving in the dreams. A New Testament dream has not to be interpreted at all. The revelation must be in it already. When the Lord spoke to Joseph in the dream, who needed to interpret? Take Mary and the child and go to Egypt. And when the time was over, again, go back, because that man who wanted to kill him is no more. It just has to come back to the Bible. In these days, we have to return to the Holy Scripture. There's no other way. There's no other way. And therefore, we say it in love, but we say it really with all seriousness. And the bride church worldwide has the right to only hear the truth. And only by the Holy Spirit being led into all the truth. No babbling, no vain babbling, no so-called revelation. And also here, let me say it here openly. You can read it. Brother Branham said, neither a dream nor a prophecy may be received by the church except they were examined by three brothers, and two have to give their signature that the thing is of God. Not everybody can come and telling a dream. No, first coming here. First coming into this building. Yes. And then the brothers who belong here. Yes. And then tell your dream. Yes. Perhaps you don't come anymore. Huh? Some will not come anymore at all. They remain seated. Yes. They remain seated. No, no. No. Brothers and sisters, if we believe that the Bible prophecy is being fulfilled now, and as I said before, if we now already see the development with Israel, which will lead to the making of the covenant, if we see all this now, I say it once again, how near must then be the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord? And please, believe it. Right at the end. Nothing strange, no strange doctrine, nothing strange may be in the bride church. Only the crystal clear proclamation, the crystal clear revelation of the Word and of the Spirit of God. And then we together will experience the last supernatural working of God. But not a mixture. I tell you very honestly, this we experienced 1979. I accuse myself here. We didn't examine everything. Everything was, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. And after what? I was laughed at of that person who always said, thus saith the Lord. And the remark was, I thought that you have the gift of discernment. Why could you not discern that I said all this of my own? Believe me. Certain things one has to experience oneself to then know what it means, with what kind of craftiness, with what kind of craftiness the enemy walks around, and how the deception, how real the deception can be. But deception remains deception. And the spirit of truth remains the spirit of truth. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we went through enough things. We went through many things. The deception was so real. The thus says the Lord was exactly like, and it was not thus says the Lord. And then, the great catastrophe. I don't want to go into detail. So, worldwide, we laid to our brothers to the heart only to preach what can be preached from the Word. Not a single chapter to interpret it. To just leave everything as it is and going from Scripture to Scripture to have the connections and to see the connections in a truth and to recognize it. Let us summarize. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes with Israel and altogether. It's one thing when we read that famines will be, that pestilences will be, that this and that will be. And then if we hear it, we don't have to be astonished at all. It has to be like this in the end time. Perplexity. It has to be here, because thus it is written. The scripture must be fulfilled in all things. And then one view to Israel. Yes, Mount Zion. Mount Zion. It belongs to God. I could read you the scriptures that the Lord will dwell on Mount Zion. Of course, not the Antichrist. No. But, the things, the spirit of error is present, is really mighty at work. The spirit of error is mightily at work. And all are being deceived. You can read all this. Even the all of Islamic world, all the 22 nations, here it's written, since 1945, they were coming together. Yes. And what's about now? Yes. Great advances between the Arabic Alliance and the Vatican. Great advances. Everywhere great progress is being made. Brothers and sisters, I have nothing to do with politics, but if it is written here, Pope meets Arabic Alliance, the main point is the peace. And then are coming all these things. We see it before our eyes. Here the people are pictured. Nice photograph of the representatives of the Arabic Alliance and a nice photograph from the gentleman in Israel. Both photos are here. The one of the main people of the Arabs and the other photo with the high-ranking rabbis. Yes, everything is taking its course. Deception all over. But the church of the living God, the bright church of Jesus Christ, has not the spirit of error, but the spirit of truth. And the word of God is the word of truth. And we are searching the Holy Scripture, and we thank God. Let me say it once again. We thank God for the sending of His servant and prophet, Brother Branham. We are very grateful to God for it, because without His ministry, I would not have a ministry today. And it would really, nothing would have happened on the earth after the going home of Brother Branham. And as God has ordained it, that He should store in the food, never He was told that He should give it out, only that He should store it in. And I've written it into my Bible. When He was told that His message would forerun the second coming of Christ, as the message of John the Baptist was forerunning the first coming of Christ. Brothers and sisters, a portion of the purpose of salvation of God we already experienced, and we are really now busy to experience the last portion of it. And all who believe the word of prophecy, and all who believe the promise that God wanted to send a prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, all who believe this, to them the word of God is being revealed, and the Spirit of truth leads us into all the truth. And then we don't glorify a man, we thank God for all the tools. But even the greatest prophet can only be a signpost along the way. Not the way, only a signpost along the way to the Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is all in all. Please receive it. Calvary, the resting place. Here I can rest. Peace with God. Forgiveness, grace, and salvation. Receive it. The tomb is empty. His resurrection is the guarantee for our resurrection. Let us place everything biblically, and let us ourselves be placed biblically. I am very grateful to God with all my heart that the biblical order is established in the church, and that the respect before the word of God has again come into the hearts of the people. Reverence before God, reverence before His word, and then by the Holy Spirit being led into all the truth. Do you agree with it? Shall it be like this with all of us? That really nothing strange, no strange doctrine, nothing strange may be heard and may be seen, but that the Lord God with all of us comes to His right by His grace. To Him, the Almighty God, be the thanks for this word. For this word. And for all the connections from the Old to the New Testament. Whatever the subject might be, here everything is written. And for this, we are very grateful to God with all our hearts. May He open our understanding for the Scripture, and may He lead us by the Spirit of truth into all the truth, and may He keep away the spirit of error forever and ever away from us. Do you agree with it? May He keep the spirit of error away from us forever. So that only God can come to His right with all of us by His grace. To Him, the Almighty God, belongs the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Perhaps we sing a chorus together. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. I'm Let us sing Just As I Am. We are bowing our heads. We remain in prayer in the presence of God. And I would like to ask whether we have some in our midst who have not yet the assurance of salvation, who didn't experience a conversion yet, who didn't consecrate their lives to the Lord consciously yet, who didn't recognize that we were all born in sin, handed over to death without hope in this world, who didn't recognize that they are lost and that they have to be saved. Run! Save your soul! Let all the ends of the earth let yourselves be saved. God has given us the salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive it. Please receive it. And I say it as Paul has written it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We beg you with all our hearts, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. Receive the redemption. Receive forgiveness. Receive the grace. And you will thank God for all eternity for this evening. If you're doing this now, as we are all bowing our heads in prayer, I once again ask, who would like to raise his hand so that we can include you in this prayer? Do we have? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over. Oh, God bless, especially all the young people. God bless you. It came into my heart that God would use this weekend, especially for all the young people who grew up in believing homes where the parents are believers and who are now finding to the Lord and are making their own experiences of salvation with the Lord. Please, receive it now. God has offered it unto you, but you have to receive it. And then comes the fulfillment. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on His name. Please believe that God was in Christ and that He reconciled you and me, the world He reconciled with Himself, and that Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, took away the sins of the world. You don't have to bear them anymore. On the cross, they were carried to the cross, and the blood was shed, the blood of the new covenant. And we are the people of the new covenant, the New Testament church, which has received what God has given us by His grace. Now let us pray, and all who have raised their hands, please receive it, accept it. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we have preached your word, the word of the cross, and of you, the crucified one. And we ask you, save all who are lost. Deliver all who are bound. Heal all who are sick. Confirm thy word tonight in our midst. And I thank you for your presence, for the working of your Holy Spirit. And I am asking you for your blessing, for your grace. And I thank you that you saved, that you have forgiven, and that you have given grace. To you, the Almighty God, be the praise and glory for the blood of the Lamb, for the Word of God, for the Holy Spirit who leads into all the truth. And beloved Lord, forever and ever, may the spirit of error be banned from your church, and forever may your spirit reign in our midst. Have thine own way with all of us. And beloved Lord, as we have heard in the word of introduction, the blessing which you promised to Abraham is through Jesus Christ, has come upon all of us through Jesus Christ. And we thank you. We thank you for the blessing of the Almighty God. You have said, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. Please, bless tonight. Bless tonight in a mighty way. Save, deliver, heal, and confirm thy word. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord God. Now, I have one question. Is the bride church really on our hearts? Not only to you, but to all. And all the ministering brethren. Namely, that the unity comes. That we speak the same language. They have the same knowledge. The same revelation. That everything, and again everything, comes back into its original divine condition. It doesn't profit anyone to speak about Ephesians 4 and to say that God has set the ministries into the church. They have to be manifested. We have arrived at the moment where the word has to become true. Namely, that what God said, where it has to become a reality. And we thank the Lord, it is just about to happen. God will fulfill every word, and every promise will be as God has said it. To Him, the Almighty God, be the honor. Now, you may be seated for a short while. We hope that all who are listening in all of Africa, South America, North America, and up to New Zealand and China, that all have been blessed through the simple proclamation. But be honest, how did our Lord preach? He used examples from nature to show the people and preaching to the people things concerning the kingdom of God. We have only one thing on our hearts, namely that God comes to His right with all of us, and that His will be done in the bride church as it is already happening in heaven, and that such a harmony is just among the people of God, as it was at the beginning. One heart and one soul. Do you have the wish? Do you have the longing? God will give it by His grace. Today the choir could sing a song, but the choir leader is not yet here. Who says a chorus? Come from on high. Sing all together, beloved brother. Pastor Schmidt will pray with us. Heavenly Father, we say thanks unto you for the promises, showers of blessings. Lord in heaven, you sent them down. You have sent them here to this earth, to your people, for your people. So we ask you, my God and Lord, give us all grace that we grasp it, that we believe it, that we praise you for it, the God of heaven. We thank you that you are still the same. Who places everything rightly, who shows and gives forth everything in the right connection. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, O God. Not only to hear, but also to hearken and to do accordingly. My God, I thank you. And I ask you also, Lord, we are coming to you, as it was already said, we lay you everything. Also, all our young people, please touch every heart. Give grace in all things. But we pray also for all those who need prayer. You know everybody by name. Manifest thy power. Manifest thyself and confirm thy word. For Lord in heaven, your word is the truth. And the word, the truth has set free. Thank you, Lord, for the victory of Calvary. You accomplished everything. You conquered everything. Every sickness, every weakness. Thank you. Lord, we ask you, the redemption which you brought, let everybody be delivered for the glory of your name. Amen. Let us sing Glorious Calvary. Shall we once again sing the chorus? Do you all have the text? Did you receive this text? Showers of blessing we are expecting from you, O Lord. Praying hearts are standing before you today. Give, Lord, revival also personally to me. Personally, also to me. This should be all our prayer. Only this chorus, showers of blessing. Beloved Lord, and all the people said, Amen. The Lord God, may He lift up His countenance over us. May He give us His peace and His blessing. God willing, until tomorrow. And we ask all fathers and mothers, take care for your children, also of the very little children, also the big children. So that also everything, also in this regard, is happening in harmony, that nobody is disturbed, but that all are being blessed. And in view to that, that the Lord has opened the seals and that He has counted us worthy and to let us look into His plan of salvation and to give the last call, to hear the last call which is addressed to the bride church, to believe it and to obey it, let us sing, "Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy." Whoever likes to raise hands can do it. And to this we say also, Amen. Brother Eric, do we have another song? It's such a nice atmosphere. The people don't want to go. Not so. Yes. Song 54. To the Lord our God be the thanks. Brother Alex, where are you? This message is for your daughter. This message is for all the youth who are here today and who are joined with us, who are now listening. May God really bless all, worldwide blessing. We thank all for the patience which they have to listen to the sermons in the German language and to get it translated into their own languages. This is just like that. I wished that I could preach here at this place in English. It would be even easier for me. But God has led it in such a way. And we are just grateful to Him, grateful for our translators, grateful for all. May God bless today, especially our friends in British Columbia. They know why I say it. And our friends in Edmonton, Alberta, may bless them. And all who are joined together with us, wherever it might be. Blessed and praised be the Lord our God from now on until all eternity. And now we sing with all our hearts, Hallelujah, be praised. But this must be heard upstairs. Amen. Go in peace. He did it. Amen. Until tomorrow.